Guess that it's a one-man show tonight, kind of. That's not Ken's fault or anything. I switched songs with Art a couple weeks ago, and I didn't actually know I was preaching this day, but I still wanted to do that. It was my fault, so that's why that happened. So, again, hopefully no one's put out by that too much. If you'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 4, I just want to basically talk mostly about one verse there. Obviously, I'll probably bring up some others. Never believe me if I say I'm just going to read one verse, because I won't. Philippians chapter 4, and again, this is probably a well-known verse to us. Verse 8, there Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And I just was reading this verse recently, or thinking about it, and wondering just why Paul needs to tell us this. You know, it seems like something like saying, make sure you watch plenty of TV every day. Make sure you eat candy, you know, every so often, you know, something like that. Like, why would Paul need to think about true, good, you know, just, lovely things, especially? Why is that necessary? But we all know, you know, probably from our lives, why that's necessary. It's not something that we naturally just do. It's not like TV or sweet things, or it's not like that. That we tend to think about, you know, the evils we see around us. We think about, you know, oh, those guys in the government, they're at it again. Or, you know, we think about, you know, my neighbor doing this or that, or his dog, you know, maybe. Or, we think about the people at work who are, you know, either bothering us, or we see something evil in them. We see evil around us and people. Sometimes it's not even evil things people have done. It's just, you know, sometimes it might be illnesses. There's a lot of evil things in this world. And sometimes there isn't any specific evil, but we find ourselves maybe plagued by just a darkness, depression, or just worry, anxiety about things that will never happen, things that we're just worried about that aren't even real. So anyway, we see from all this, again, it's not a wonder why Paul wrote this verse, but when I was reading it, I was thinking, doesn't everybody want to think about things that are true and honorable and just? Isn't it nice to think about those things? Wouldn't we just want to think about those things? And, you know, we do, but we do want to, but we don't. And so Paul has to tell us and remind us that these are the things we ought to be thinking about. So tonight's lesson, I guess, is just about that, we need to sort of maybe train ourselves to pay attention to what we're thinking about, to where our minds are going, you know, whatever it takes to just try to work this verse out, find out what it means to work it out in our own lives. I do want to say right off the bat, I don't think that Paul, you know, is prohibiting from grief, from sorrow, you know. As I said already, this world is full of evil things. You know, there are many things in this world going bad. There is sin in this world. And, you know, I don't think what Paul's advocating is escapism, is ignoring those things, you know, putting our hands against our ears and saying, you know, la, 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 Jesus loves me. I don't hear you, you know. It's not that sort of, you know, feel-goodiness. You know, because that attitude that I was describing just now, that's basically that stems from fear. That's hearing those things and not wanting to face them, not wanting to admit that they are there, not wanting to deal with them. Whereas I think what Paul would advocate is, you know, despite those grim realities, we face them boldly, head on, knowing that because our God is a Father, is the Lord, that He is good. That fact just allows us to face anything. It overwhelms any possible evil that could come over us. And I know I've talked before, probably kind of recently, about Paul's attitude in this book of Philippians, that he is in prison and telling them over and over again in this book to rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Paul himself rejoiced even when faced with those evils. So I just want to say that off the bat, that I'm not saying we just ignore evil. I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve when things go wrong. We think about Jesus when Lazarus died, and you know, Jesus wept. We read, we all know that verse. And that seemed weird to me, because Jesus could, I mean, and maybe he already knew he was just going to bring this guy back from the dead. I don't know, maybe he didn't know that, but he did bring Lazarus back to them from the dead, you know, almost right away. So why would he weep about that? But that's a topic for another time, I think. There's a lot we could say about that. Anyway, the point is, it's not, tonight's message is not that we should not grieve or that we should not be sad when sad things happen. It's only that we don't allow that to poison us, to overcome us. There's a difference, I think, between the sorrow at the loss, say, of a loved one or of some other situation that is sad, and allowing that sorrow to turn into this bitterness, to turn into a feeling of we've been wronged, injustice has been committed against me, I want vengeance, I give up, I don't want to live anymore, you know, whatever evil consequence comes from that sorrow. That's what we're trying to avoid. Despair, things of that nature. You know, there's a right way for us to be sad and a wrong way. But the lesson tonight is, I think, and the lesson from this verse is that we, in all things, despite our emotions, we be positive in all things. That it's possible for us to have this attitude, this positivity, this meditation on what is true and honorable and just, even if we are sad outwardly, or if we're happy outwardly, you know, whatever our circumstance is, it's possible for us to think about what Paul's telling us to think about. So a first point I might make about this, you know, that we just need to be positive in what Paul's telling us here. We can think about the fact that every circumstance almost in our lives, we can turn it into a misfortune if we want. You know, there's almost nothing that we can't find something bad about. There's almost nothing we can't find something to complain about, you know. And we're, many of us, I know I am, a testament to that fact. No matter how good things are going, it seems like I still somehow find something to complain about, you know. Oh, my neck hurts, or oh, it sure is hot outside, and I wish it was a little cooler. You know, when is it that I'm just okay with everything? When is it that I'm just happy? When is it that I just rejoice? And, you know, largely that's up to us to decide. You know, do we rejoice in what, in, you know, the weather God has given us? Do we rejoice in the day that we have? Or do we, you know, wish it was otherwise? You know, do we find the evils? And again, it's not, you know, it's not about pretending that things are okay when they're not. It's just about striving to have this positivity about us, to edify those who are around us. I think if we are those negative people, complaining people, people who always seem to be unhappy, that's not something that is edifying. That's not something that is true. That's not something that acknowledges that our God is a good and just and patient Father who is working right now in our lives, who is providing good things for us and keeping us each and every day, and who will ultimately make all things right. You know, it's impatience, it's selfishness, it's saying I want things differently right now to accommodate myself. You know, it's all these things, and it's not good. And that's exactly what, you know, Paul's emphasizing here. So again, our job is not to figure out everything that's wrong with, you know, I was talking earlier about the weather, but, you know, sometimes it's people. It's the people around us that you know, we see them do something we don't like, or we think, how can I get this guy to stop acting that way? And, you know, people do evil things. It's not our job, though, to fix everybody. It's not our job to find out what's wrong with every person around us and to set them straight or something. Our job is just to abide in Christ, you know, to show love, to be like Christ ourselves. And I think we do a lot more good in that example than by telling people, you know, I think you need to do this, or I think you need to do this. I think that can be really helpful. But, you know, it's something we all know, that actions speak louder than words, that if we are living that and being those people, it's going to do much more good for them and for us. We'll be more edifying people. So, and just in general, it seems like, you know, what I was already saying, negative people find a lot to be negative about. Positive people find a lot to rejoice about and be positive over. And we need to be those people that, you know, that encourage those around us, that build them up, and that are helpful. I think about Ephesians chapter 4, another verse I think that we know pretty well. Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." I know Art preached recently on this verse and others like it, that what we say to people, you know, what, how we act around them as well, but this verse just addresses our speech. You know, it should be that which helps other people. It's that which edifies them. So I've already talked about, you know, negative words, even if they're not directed at any people, that's still, you know, even if they're just directed at the weather, that can still, it's still not edifying. Definitely hateful words, words that stem from our own anger, at somebody else. That's not, you know, I think about James, James, I think it's in chapter 1. Now I'm not going to be able to find it. I just thought of this verse, so bear with me. But, yeah, James chapter 1 and in verse 20, James reminds us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I've heard that verse rendered a little differently, but the point is, you know, a lot of times we just want to, we want to say something to somebody because we're mad. You know, we think it's some, we think it's just, you know, judgment coming out of our mouths, but, you know, almost everybody thinks that when they're mad, and then when they cool off, it becomes more apparent what it was. And I'm just as guilty of this, I think, as any of us. So, you know, any number of these things can serve to make us those negative people who are not edifying. I think, so that's all sort of under my first point, and it's sort of loosely negativity, complaining, meanness. If we go back to Philippians, Paul himself has just gotten done discussing another aspect of this that I touched on earlier, which is worry or fear. Just the few verses right before verse 8, starting in verse 6 there, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And, you know, that sounds like something, you know, it'd be easy for you know, maybe us jaded people to say, like, that sounds really nice, you know, that sounds really great, and everything will be great, and we just don't have to worry about anything. But that's not how the real world works, you know, that's not how life is. But it is how life is. Paul's telling us that right here. Paul's telling us, you know, you think your situation's different, you think, you know, God can't help me, you know, he's not just going to wave a magic wand and everything will be okay. And that's exactly right. I mean, I don't think that's what Paul's saying, but we don't, you know, our mindset, our attitude reflects so much about whether we believe these verses or not. You know, it's important that we go into it, that we do what we need to do in every circumstance, that we not just, you know, pray and feel good and hope that it fixes itself. But these verses are saying that, you know, if we're praying, if we have thanksgiving in every circumstance, if we're trusting God in every circumstance, there is no place for worry or for fear or for doubt. You know, do we believe that he is steadfast in love? Do we believe when God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? You know, do we believe when Peter says, you know, bring your cares to him because he cares for you. You know, he'll hear that and he'll, you know, he'll take care of you. You know, if we believe all these things, then there's no, you know, and I'm not trying to sound insensitive because this is something that I, you know, I deal with just like, you know, at least as much as everybody else does. You know, I wonder, I doubt, I, you know, something. Just recently I was on Facebook and made a post and my old orchestra director commented on it. It was about Christ and about who he was, and it was making some points, and he didn't exactly agree, and so he made a very polite, respectful comment, and we kind of started having a conversation, but it made me feel kind of bad that he didn't just automatically agree with me or something. It was, you know, it was kind of looming over me for a day or two, that he had just said that, and that's what's so strange. He hadn't said anything rude. He hadn't said anything mean. It was just frustrating to me that he didn't just, for whatever reason, it brought me down. It made me worry. What am I gonna say to him? Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't know, and maybe I am wrong. But that's nothing to worry about. I guess that's part of my point here. There's just so many things that cause us that just bring us down, that are just constantly assailing us. And it's important that in all of these, that's our training, I think, is just to keep remembering that God is our Father, to keep remembering and seeing more and more what that means. And to not give in to that doubt, to that despair, I think is what at the beginning. Again, grief, sorrow, difficulties, discipline, these are all things we have to go through, you know, as Christians. We know we have to do it. We know, you know, it doesn't just happen. We don't just, you know, poof, and now we're perfect Christians, and now everything's okay. I mean, that's not how it will work. But, you know, in these verses, and in this verse in Philippians chapter 4, Paul's reminding us just keep trusting, keep believing, keep focusing on those good things. You know, I think it's about mental discipline, and I think it's about seeking out those things that are true, seeking out things that are honorable, just, pure. You know, think about lovely things. I think it's amazing that Paul puts loveliness in there. You know, I just think lovely things, beautiful things, things that just appeal to us and are nice. That's, I guess, what most stuck out to me about this verse from the start, that Paul has to tell us to think about those things, you know, and that it sounds like something we would all want to know. It's such an amazing and a joyful thing that this is part of our instruction, that this is part of Paul's instruction to us, that he goes out of his way to tell us, think about things that are lovely. You know, and it's perfectly fitting, because that's how God is as well. When God created this world, we all know he made the Garden of Eden. We all have that picture in our heads of this wonderful, beautiful place. And the Bible tells us it's a place where, you know, God planted all those trees that were good for fruit and that were beautiful to look at. And it's amazing that that's the God that we serve. And that's a message, I think, repeated over and over and over again through the Bible. That's what we need to remember, and that's what Paul's encouraging us to remember, is that no matter what griefs befall us, no matter what difficulties we go through, don't forget that. Don't forget that God is true, that God is just, and that he is honorable, that he is lovely, that all these things are in him and are in the creation that he has made. They are all around us, and that the day is coming when he will make all these things right. Really, my lesson today is just an encouragement, I think, more than anything else, to all of us. And I think that's what these verses are, is an encouragement to us just to keep on, you know, to pay attention to where our minds are going. You know, are we, you know, depressed? He's saying we don't need to be. It's not to make us more sad that we're depressed, but just to show us that that's not what God intends. And even if we are, or even if, you know, I think sometimes we try to get rid of the feeling. And that's what I've been wanting to stress this whole lesson, so I've been hinting around it. But sometimes what we're trying to get rid of is the feeling of sadness, or the feeling of depression or whatever the feeling it is that's upon us that we don't like. And we try to just make ourselves, through sheer willpower, feel a different way. And I think that's not how faith always works. I think our faith is that even if I feel this way, or even if, you know, this is happening, even if nothing looks to me like it's right, I don't see any possible solution to this, I don't see any way this can work out well, you know, that's when faith shines. That's when we really can say, but God is true anyway. And even if I keep feeling like this, and even if I keep being unhappy, I still know that God is good, and I still know that he's going to work this out. I think that's the most, I guess, the most important lesson related to this that I'd like to share with you guys today. So hopefully this has been helpful or edifying or clear, at least, that you guys might take something away from it and might think a little more about these things that are good, that Paul encourages us to think about. If there's anyone here tonight who is not a Christian, like to become one, who does not know Jesus Christ, we set aside this time as a time for invitation. You can feel free to make your needs known to me or one of the other wonderful members here, and we can get that taken care of. Or if there are any members here or any of those who are Christians who need the prayers or help of the group, feel free to make that known at this time as we stand and sing the invitation song.